Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back today as we're walking through Holy Week together. And if you didn't listen to yesterday, go ahead and listen to yesterday. We began a little bit in the first reading and a little bit in the gospel. And that's what we're going to do again today, because we want to together walk with Jesus through his week. And I know I was saying, for me, it's so easy to do a handful of things, to either have this week be so busy that I don't actually give it the value it deserves, or kind of like slack off at the beginning of the week and not really pay that much attention to what's going on liturgically or what's going on in the scriptures, and then be like, okay, the holiest part of this week is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe not even Saturday. Saturday's a rest day, you know, from finishing out Lent, and then we hit Easter. But to really, you know, have this inspiration together as we began to say, each day we want to walk with Jesus where he is. And to put ourselves in that place of, where would he have been mentally? Where would he have been spiritually? What was he doing with his disciples? How can we be present and attentive to him on his path of suffering? How can we be present and attentive to him where he actually is, and to encounter him in this place? And so yesterday we began with a prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to get into another prophecy of Isaiah today. And then we saw Jesus dining with Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And it just, what we talked about yesterday, this casual thing of Jesus being like, yeah, he was dining with Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. That would be crazy to just be like eating dinner with a guy that you just raised from the dead. But Mary does this amazing act of extravagant worship. And so we're building on today what where we left off yesterday, is to say, how are we showing up with extravagance for Jesus? What are we pouring out on him? What are we showing him through our love for him, particularly as he was preparing for his death, that he knew in 7 days that he would be dying a brutal death on the cross, and the comfort it would have been to him for his friend to pour out her love upon him in this amazing, beautiful way. This amazing, beautiful way. And so that's what we're building from now. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive into the readings and see what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. So if you'll join me, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just settle our hearts and our minds today, that you would just draw us close to Jesus, that we would be able to see him as he is, and to be with him where he is today. I ask that you would speak to each and every one of us through this word, that you would convict our hearts, that you would shape our hearts, that you would give us clear direction on what to do and where to go and how to respond to this word and submit to you. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we want to walk with you on your path to Calvary. We want to encounter you on your path to Calvary and ultimately on your path to resurrection. We pray all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read Isaiah 49, and it's going to begin in verse 1. Just verses 1 through 6 is what we're going to read today. Hear me, O islands. Listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing, uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord. My recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who has formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Amen. This one is, it seems a little less obvious in how this is a prophecy about Jesus, right? Because it's talking a lot about Israel, and it sounds like Isaiah is talking about himself, and in a way he is, but he's also talking about Jesus, right? The Lord called me from my birth, from my mother's womb. He gave me my name from the womb of Mary. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. It's this image that Jesus, as the chosen one, is sent into the world, is born of Mary. And it's like, think of the first 30 years of Jesus' life. He's hidden in the shadow of just being a carpenter. And the Father sends him out on this mission to defeat sin and death. And he slays death with his death, like a sharp-edged sword, like a polished arrow. He sends Jesus out. He says, "You are my servant." He said to me, "Israel, through whom I show my glory." That Jesus, friends, is the revelation of the glory of the Father. And the revelation of the glory of the Father is shown not just in the resurrection of Jesus, but in the death of Jesus, that the kingdom of God is flipped on its head. And we're going to see this in the reading in the gospel as well. The kingdom of God flips the kingdom of the world on its head and says, "I'm going to reveal my glory through the death of my chosen one. I'm going to reveal my glory through the death of my son." And it's going to look like there is toiling in vain. It says, "Uselessly, I spent my strength." The devil thinks that he won. But what does Jesus do? He recites the Psalms and he stays on that cross, and his reward is with the Father. His reward, he's saying, "My reward is with my Father." And through Jesus' death, he ransoms Israel. He ransoms back. He buys back Israel from the powers of death. He restores, he raises up through Jesus. All the raising up of the tribes of Jacob is done. Everything is found in him. He restores the survivors of Israel. And Jesus becomes a light to the nations. That's one of Jesus' names, a light to the nations. That my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. That through Jesus' death, salvation will go out to all the earth. And I love this psalm. Just very quickly, the psalm responds, Psalm 71, "I will sing of your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me." Skipping forward, "For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from my birth. From my mother's womb, you are my strength." Friends, this is such a beautiful psalm to say over and over to ourselves. Think of Jesus on the cross. He's in this terrible situation. He's in this shameful situation. He's been crucified. And this prayer, "Lord, never let me be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. You are my rock of refuge. You are my stronghold. You are my fortress." To pray this over and over again. I've been writing stuff like this in my journal when I don't know what to pray, just writing, "Lord, you are my salvation. In you I take refuge. You are my hope. You are my justice." Just writing all of these things down and declaring the salvation of God in your life. To declare the works of the Lord. And now I don't want to rush through, but I want to get to this part of the gospel, John 13, verse 21. And we're entering into the Last Supper discourse. And so in John 12, which we read yesterday, we had before Passover, Jesus reclining at table with Lazarus. And now we have Jesus with his Passover reclining at table with his disciples. This Last Supper discourse is beginning, and John 13, 21 says this, "Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' The disciples looked at one another at a loss to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out what he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said, 'Master, who is it?' Jesus answers, 'It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it.' So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, 'What you are going to do, do quickly.'" I'm going to skip forward. Judas took the morsel and left. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Peter says, "Master, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow me later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times." There's so much going on in this reading. You have Jesus experiencing the beginning of this deep betrayal by Judas, this man he has walked with. And I love the scriptures gives us an insight. Jesus was troubled. He was troubled. We forget he was human. At this point, friends, in his journey, the scriptures are telling us today in Holy Week on Tuesday, Jesus was troubled. He was troubled because he was going to be betrayed. And he's troubled every time we betray him by our own sin. And so what's happening here is Judas sets into motion the plan of Jesus's arrest. And so Judas takes the morsel and he leaves. And it begins what we see now will be the time where Jesus will go in the garden and he'll be arrested. This is the beginning of the whole scene. This is the beginning. Jesus knows this is the beginning of his time. He says, "Now is the time." And this is amazing. He knows he will be arrested. He knows he will be beaten. He knows he will be betrayed. He knows he will be scorned. All of this different kind of stuff. And what does he say? "Now is the Son of Man glorified and God glorified in him." He's going to suffer. He's going to die. He's going to experience first betrayal. He's going to have something so unfair, so incomprehensible done to him. And yes, he's troubled, but where is his mindset at? He's the servant of the Father, and he's saying the Son of Man is going to be glorified through suffering. He's going to be glorified through death. And friends, this is such an unbelievable insight in what matters to God. Because the Father is saying, "I am going to take the deepest shame." He was naked on that cross. He was expecting to experience. This is what he's anticipating experiencing. He's all knowing. He knows the shame and the suffering he will experience. And he's saying, now that this is set into motion, yes, the miracles were amazing. Yes, the teaching was amazing. But now the glory of God is going to come upon the Son of Man when he is betrayed and despised. This is the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit, friends, today wants to draw us in to this reality of the kingdom to say, will we walk with Jesus as he's despised? Will we be with him as he's despised? Because this is the place of glory. This is the place that the Son of Man is glorified. And so Jesus, we pray today on this Tuesday that we would be with you in this place of betrayal. That we want to be with you where you are glorified. Join us again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.